the Mary Lee Taylor Program. Brought to you by Pet Milk, the first evaporated milk. Yes, welcome to the Mary Lee Taylor Program, featuring the story of the week about that lovable pair, Jim and Sally Carter, and the recipe of the week from the famous Pet Milk Kitchen. Have you heard about Mary Lee Taylor's newest 16-page recipe book called New Ideas for Everyday Meals? It's the very best yet. The recipes have been tested in kitchens like yours to be sure of perfect results. And to be extra useful, the recipes give the different amounts of ingredients you need to make just 2 servings or 4 or 6 servings. To get a free copy of this wonderful book, just write your name and address and the words New Ideas on a postcard and send the card to Mary Lee Taylor, care of this station, or to Pet Milk, St. Louis, Zone 1, Missouri. And now it's Mary Lee on NBC.
Hello, this is Mary Lee Taylor. Several weeks ago, the Stork presented Jim and Sally Carter with a tiny baby girl. Betsy is a good baby, but even a good baby can be a problem. As Jim, her father,
Great Caesar, just because we have a baby, does everybody have to give us advice? Whose baby is she, anyway?
You know why Jim is upset in just a minute when we bring you today's story called Whose Baby Is She? And right after the story, I'm going to tell you how to make a main dish that's perfect for Easter dinner. Easter ham loaf. A delicious ham loaf which you can make with only 1 pound of ham and 1 egg.
What? No pet milk?
Pet milk? Of course we use pet milk. If we didn't, we'd have to use more ham and more than 1 egg. But thanks to Double Rich Pet Milk, we can make this wonderful Easter ham loaf for only about 91 cents.
Yes, you can always count on pet milk to save you money and to make everyday food taste extra good. And no wonder. Pet milk is so thick and rich, you can use it in coffee just as is. Yes, pet milk is so rich, it belongs in your cream pitcher. And don't forget, double rich as it is, pet milk is still real milk, with all of the nourishing goodness that you get from good, sweet, whole milk. That's pet milk, the first evaporated milk, the first choice of millions of homemakers.
We'll come back to the pet milk kitchen a little later. But right now, let's go to Capital City and find out what's going on in the Carter family. Baby Betsy has been home from the hospital several weeks now. Sally's mother is still with her, but is planning to go home soon, for Sally feels quite able to take over the care of the baby and the apartment. Things have been running pretty smoothly, most of the time. But one morning, as Jim awakens...
What time is it? Oh, great Caesar. Look, didn't the alarm go off?
I didn't let it. Mama jumped for the baby last night, and I didn't want to wake her any sooner than necessary.
Yeah, but, Sally, I have an early appointment.
I'll have some coffee ready in a minute.
Oh, I'd better just stop at the drugstore.
That's the only bad thing about Mom sleeping in the living room. We can't get through to the kitchen without... Well, I think I hear it. There goes Mom again about putting Betsy outdoors. Who do you suppose she's talking to this early in the morning?
10 to 1, it's Mrs. Hackett at the door telling your mother Betsy ought to have a flannel band.
I guess so. Well, I'll go and get your coffee ready and see what Mom's doing.
Okay.
Morning, Mom. How are you?
Oh, hello, dear. I was beginning to wonder if I shouldn't wake you, but I wanted you to get as much sleep as possible, since the baby kept you awake last night.
Well, I didn't lose much sleep. I don't think Betsy was awake more than half an hour. Mom, I've got to get some coffee going. Jim's in a hurry.
I'll ask at the table.
Thanks, Mom.
Your landlady was at the door first thing this morning.
We heard you talking to somebody.
She brought that flannel band. Said Betsy's beginning to get colicky because she isn't properly clothed. Of all the nonsense.
Mrs. Hackett means well. Cereal, Jim?
I haven't got time. Just coffee and toast, please.
Well, I took the thing and thanked her politely, of course, but...
Oh, dear. What now?
Well, I'll see.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Hackett.
Sally's busy with breakfast right now. We're a little late getting started this morning.
Well, I just thought I'd off in the kitchen. I wouldn't be wanting to cause no delay, but I do want to tell Sally before another day passes that it's them fruit juices that give that blessed baby to call it. The stomach of a wee infant was never intended.
Goodness, did Betsy wake you too, Mrs. Hogan?
No, but Mamie Hackett told me the child was crying in the night, poor lamb.
Well, she didn't cry more than 15 minutes, Mrs. Hogan. She hasn't the colic.
Well, good morning, lady.
Why, good morning, Mr.
McGoy. Any toast for me, Sally?
Oh, just a second.
Oh, the baby's crying.
Well, let her cry a minute. It's almost a feeding time.
I'll go see who's knocking. I was going anyway. But if you take my advice...
Mom, if you'll just watch this toast a minute. Why, where...
She's gone to see about Betsy.
Oh, good morning to you, Marcy. Hi, Mr. Hogan. I know I'm back.
Grand Central Station.
Yeah. Hello, Marcy.
Oh, Betsy's crying again. Poor little thing.
It's almost time for her to eat, that's all. She's on an 8-12-4 schedule.
Well, it's past time for me to eat. I'm on a 7:30 noon schedule. And if it'd help any to...
Sally, you ought to feed her. That's the modern method. Feed them when they're hungry. Schedules are out of date.
But it's just so much better to feed her after we've had our breakfast.
Oh, golly, the toast is burned.
I give up. I'll grab a cup of coffee at the drugstore.
Oh, Jim, I am sorry.
Well, it's not your fault,
honey. There's something about their psychoses. I forget what. But you're supposed to feed them.
I'm there tonight. I might be a little bit late.
My friend Louise has three.
Sally, dear, don't you think she needs to be trained?
And she has the most advanced pediatrician.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Just a minute, baby girl.
But when Jim got home that evening, late, as he said he might, the apartment was silent. Sally was alone in the living room.
Hello, darling.
Hello.
Where is everybody? What are you doing?
Mom went to the movie. Betsy's asleep. I'm just sitting here, not doing a thing.
Boy, that sounds swell. As soon as I hang up my coat, I'll join you.
I'd like to do nothing at all myself for a few minutes.
Want anything to eat?
No, thanks. I got something on the way home.
You look awfully tired. Have a hard day?
So-so. You look bushed yourself. You feel all right?
Well, frankly, Jim, I'm just worn out from being advised. The weather was fine, but I've got so I dread nice days. At least on a rainy day, Mom doesn't argue with me about getting Betsy outdoors. And Mrs. Hackett was in, and Mrs. Hogan.
Again?
And again. And Marcy.
What the deuce does she know about babies?
Everything. Everybody knows everything.
I don't know why you put up with it. Now, whose baby is Betsy, anyway?
But they mean to be helpful, all of them.
Maybe. But who has to struggle if Betsy gets prickly heat from being wrapped up in flannel? Not Mrs. Hackett, that's for sure. Or if she gets rickets from lack of vitamins? Mrs. Hogan? Mm-mm. Now, who'd have to get breakfast and feed Betsy at the same time because that's what suits Betsy? Not Marcy Rary. Even your mother will be gone by the time Betsy catches cold from being out in the wind. Everybody's very free with the advice, but it's the Carters that take the consequences.
You're right, but there's no use getting so worked up about it. Betsy won't suffer. Now, I couldn't follow all that conflicting advice if I tried.
But you suffer. Well, look at you, worn to a nub. This interference has got to stop, and I'm the very little fella to stop it. I'm going to tell a few people a few things.
No.
Hmm?
Well, they're all trying to help. They all mean to be kind. Why, Mom has given us weeks of her time and worked like anything.
I didn't mean your mother. She's got a right to put in her 2 cents worth, but...
Well, the others, too. I wouldn't want to seem ungrateful or hurt their feelings.
But, honey, look at the day you've had. Things can't go on like this.
I know, but just don't say anything yet. Please? Let me see if I can't work it out some other way.
All right. But I don't see what you're going to do.
I think I'll have them all in for a party tomorrow afternoon.
Well, that's a nice idea. Just a party? Well, you must be delirious.
Just the neighbors in for tea.
Say, you are a glutton for punishment. Why, you'll get expert advice on raising Betsy right up till her wedding and beyond.
It might be better to get it that way, all at once.
Well, honey, this day seems to have started out okay. I had a chance to eat my breakfast in peace. Nobody knocked on the door. Nobody popped in to give advice about our young offspring. Do you think it's just the calm before the storm?
Could be, darling. But I think they're all saving their advice for this afternoon.
This afternoon? The tea party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, baby. Go ahead. But just be sure the tea party's over by the time I get home, will you?
Here's your tea, Marcy. Lemon and one lump, right?
Thanks. You know, this is going to be fun, Sally. It's been a long time since all the gals in the building got together.
Thank you, Zach. But I hope it won't tire you, Sally.
Say, Mom does all the work around here.
Oh, nonsense.
Have a sandwich?
Thank you. And I'm awfully glad to have a chance to get better acquainted with Sally's neighbors. Mrs. Hackett will drop in later.
And Missy, if she gets home from work in time.
But we won't wait for them. We can have a second cup when they come.
And in the meantime, we can just relax and catch up on the apartment house news. That is, if Betsy doesn't cry and disturb us.
It's Jim, we're
on a
night. You
say I've been
saving
your card. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mrs. Hayes.
I was going to say that on a nice day like this, the child ought to be...
Be foolish, Mrs. Hayes. She ought not to get this richer spring air in her little lungs. Nor the juices in her little stomach, I may add.
Mrs. Hogan, goodness, all babies have to have vitamins.
Yes, and to eat, not less.
If you feed her when she's hungry, Sally, she probably wouldn't cry.
Now, that's just a lot of newfangled nonsense, Mrs. Rarick. Why, I woke my babies up to keep them right on schedule. And a healthier lot of babies...
And
never...
cruel it was, too, the poor little thing. Going against nature. And them orange and prune juices is going against nature the same way I do.
Honestly, Mrs. Hogan, it's been 30 years since you...
And babies don't change. Not in 130 years.
Mrs. Hackett thinks a flannel band would help.
Why did she get that idea?
Mainly Hackett. But methods do improve, Mrs. Hogan. So I think one should take a proven course and not just adopt any fad that comes along.
Fad? My information comes from Louisa's pediatrician, and that doctor is one of the best in the state. Who's ready for another cup of tea? Nobody. Oh, I think it's wonderful you all know so much about babies. Lots more than I do.
Well, I
don't,
of course. It's experience, dearie. Four boys I had, and all of them passed the army examination with flying colors.
Experience is right, Sally. Look at the three children your father and I brought up.
Well, not exactly my experience, but my best friend is bringing up her three very carefully. So it's the same as my experience.
And all those babies have turned out well, haven't they?
None better than the Hogan boys.
Well, I don't have to tell you.
Those kids and Louise's are the smartest.
It's funny, isn't it, that all the babies are so successful when all the methods are so conflicted.
But couldn't we do...
You've got an idea there, Sally. Each one of you has a different theory, and each one has positive proof that hers is successful.
Well... Just what are you getting at, Sally?
Well, it encourages me because I think it shows that babies are pretty tough. If you keep them warm and dry and clean and comfortable and well-fed, and if you love them enough, they seem to grow up all right, whether you dress them in wool or cotton, put them indoors or out, feed them five times a day or ten.
Does it kind of look that way?
It's wonderful. I guess nature made babies tough enough so that each mother can get her own experience. Because that's what she has to do.
I get it. Seems to lie you right, Pat. And I, for one, ain't going to give you another mite of advice. Not if I can help it, that is. And it's hard for Nora Hogan to hold her tongue.
You'll have lots of chance to give me advice, Mrs. Hogan. I'll need it. And I'll ask for it. I'll need it from you and Marcy and my doctor and Mom. Especially my doctor and Mom.
But of course you have to make your own decisions here. And learn how to take care of your baby by doing what you think is best. And that's the way I learned, and Mrs. Hogan too, I expect. In fact, now that I think of it, all three of my babies had to be handled a little differently.
And come to think of it, I learned something new from each of my four.
And there's certainly no reason why Louise's methods should be best for you, Sally.
Say, what about that second cup of tea now?
Yes,
would you really?
Well, I'm ready.
Of course.
We'll return to our story in just a minute, but first I want to remind you of our beautiful 16-page book called New Ideas for Everyday Meals, a book packed with new easy recipes, ideas for delicious money-saving meals, and lifelike photographs of some of the attractive dishes you can easily make using these recipes. Remember, this book is prepared as a service to you homemakers, so don't miss getting a free copy. Just print your name and address and the words New Ideas on a postcard. And send the card to me, Mary Lee Taylor, care of the station to which you are listening. If you'd also like a copy of the very valuable 64-page book called Your Baby, which gives so much helpful information on the care and training of a baby, just add the words Baby Book to the card you send in for the recipe book. And now, back to our story. That evening was a peaceful one in the cottage apartment. Jim read the paper, Sally looked at a fashion magazine, and Mom Hayes counted stitches as she turned the heel in the sock she was knitting. You'd never know there was a baby in the place.
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, my goodness. I wonder if I'd better pick her up.
Well, I have always thought, Sally, that... 3, 4, 3. You know, turning the heel is the only thing that bothers me on a sock.
Hmm? What's that, Mom? Well, what is it? Sal, I'll just go in the other room and take a look at her.
Oh, I'll go with you. Excuse us a minute, Mom.
Certainly, dear.
She stopped already. She just wanted us to come in and admire her. Look, isn't she an angel?
Just like her old lady. But say, what's wrong with Mom Hayes? She didn't tell you Betsy needs fresh air.
Oh, she's busy with her stock.
And where's the advisory board? Marcy, Mrs. Holden, and the rest? Or are they waiting till breakfast to come down and give us the dope?
I don't think they'll come down. I think they've decided that we'll have to bring up Betsy.
You think they've... Oh. Well, I won't even ask how you did it. It just confirms my conviction that I married the most remarkable girl in the world. One thing sure, life in the Carter family is never dull. So remember to join us next Saturday for the next story about Sally, Betsy, and Jim. And come along now to the Pet Milk Kitchen, where you're always sure to get ideas that'll make your own life brighter and your family meals even more delicious than usual.
And by the way, if you're shopping for groceries today, do take a look around in your favorite store for the Pet Milk display, because along with it, you'll find some take-home recipe folders. Your grocer has these recipe folders on hand. That's a service to you. So help yourself.
And help yourself to plenty of that good, stay sweet pet milk, too. Pet milk, you know, is a concentrated milk. Actually, double rich. So rich, lots of folks say it really belongs in your cream pitcher. So every time you pour yourself a cup of coffee, reach for the pet milk to make that good coffee taste even better.
And reach for the pet milk every time you want to make good everyday foods taste better, too. For with pet milk, you can make the smoothest, best-tasting gravies and sauces imaginable, and the most delicious desserts.
And good hearty main dishes, like the Easter ham loaf that's been picked as the recipe of the week. Now, don't forget what Mary Lee told you earlier. Because of double-rich pet milk, you can make this fine, big ham loaf using only 1 pound of ham and one egg.
And, Dale, don't you forget that we have a dinner to plan, as well as a recipe to give, so Let's begin right now.
Okay, suits me. What do we start with?
Well, since it's a special dinner, we'll start with tomato juice cocktail.
Just to make you a little hungrier by the time you get to the ham loaf.
Yes. Then the Easter ham loaf, garnished with pineapple slices.
Mm-hmm. Appetite behaves.
And we'll have glazed sweet potatoes.
Ham and sweet potatoes. Oh, they go together like Easter and eggs.
And for a green vegetable, creamed peas.
Keep it going. Sounds good to me.
Then add heated rolls and butter, or margarine, and a special dessert like ice cream topped with toasted coconut.
Toasted coconut on ice cream?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll bet that is good. And coffee. You know me, always have to have my coffee.
And sugar?
Yes, and you know what else, too.
Could you by any chance use pet milk?
Right the first time. Pet milk, the milk that's so rich it really belongs in your cream pitcher. Pet milk, milk that's double rich and so makes coffee taste double good.
And of course, pet milk does cost quite a bit less than cream. That's something to think about.
Oh, that's something I love to think about. How little pet milk costs and how much it gives you. But I know it's recipe time, so I'll stop selling and do a little scribbling. How do you make this here Easter ham loaf, Mary Lee?
Well, first you do a little mixing.
Okay, I'm a good mixer. What do I mix?
1 pound of ground smoked ham.
1 pound ground smoked ham. Yes, what else?
2 cups of cornflakes.
Well, I'll be. 2 cups corn flakes. Go on, surprise me again.
2/3 cup pet milk.
2/3 cup pet milk. I'll surprise you. I won't even say wonderful pet milk. I'll just say, what's next?
1 slightly beaten egg.
1 slightly beaten egg to make it an Easter ham loaf.
1/3 cup ketchup.
1/3 cup ketchup. Okay, not all.
And 1/8 teaspoon pepper.
1/8 teaspoon pepper. So all that stuff is mixed, and then what do you do?
Well, then you press it into a greased and floured quart ring mold.
Press into greased, floured, quart ring mold.
And bake in a slow oven, 325 degrees, for 1 hour or until firm.
Bake in slow oven, 325 degrees. 1 hour or until firm. You know, I'm getting pretty good at this.
Then turn out and garnish with 8 half slices of canned pineapple.
Oh, that's 4 slices of canned pineapple cut into halves and stuck around the outside of that ham ring or whatever you call it.
That's right, and I didn't call it a ham ring, even though the recipe says to use a ring mold. Because I'm sure there are women who don't have a ring mold. And, of course, that same mixture can be baked in a regular quart loaf pan.
Of course.
If you do use a ring mold, plan to serve the creamed peas in the center of the ring. If you use a loaf pan, then put the pineapple on top of the loaf and arrange the creamed peas around the loaf. And this is important. If you use a loaf pan, you will need to increase the baking time to 1 1/4 hours. The recipe I just gave from the book called New Ideas for Everyday Meals makes a big enough Easter ham loaf to serve 4 people generously.
There's just one thing bothering me, Mary Lee. How about those carrots, whatchamacallit, that you show in the color photograph of Easter ham loaf here on the cover of the recipe book?
We call those carrot flowers, Dale.
Oh.
Just a little touch to add extra appeal. And the new recipe book tells exactly how to make them.
Well, does that book also tell why pet milk is such a wonderful form of sweet whole milk? Does it tell that pet milk is twice as rich as the milk generally sold in bottles? And does it tell that pet milk, honest to Pete, costs less generally than any other form of milk?
Not as well as you tell it, then. But if you can just hold off a few seconds, here are some helpful tips about making the Easter ham loaf. First, Don't crush or roll the cornflakes. Just measure them as they come out of the package. They'll be crushed just enough as you mix the ingredients together. And do choose lean ham, so that your loaf or ring will be nice and plump and have an all-meat flavor. This mixture, by the way, is too soft to shape into a loaf with your hands. That's why it must be baked in a ring mold or in a loaf pan.
Well, I hope a lot of you will be having Mary Lee Taylor's Easter ham loaf for dinner tomorrow.
And so that you won't have a lot of last-minute meal preparation when you come home from church, I suggest that you toast the coconut for the ice cream and put your tomato juice in the refrigerator today. Then, early tomorrow morning, you can mix the ham loaf, put it into the pan, and into the refrigerator. And after church, while the ham loaf is baking, you'll have plenty of time to set the table, cream the peas, and make the coffee. And put the rolls in the oven with the ham loaf just a few minutes before you're ready to turn off the oven.
Well, I'm sure that's all good advice, and so is this. Today, right after the program, sit down and write a postcard to Mary Lee Taylor, care of this station, or to Pet Milk, St. Louis, Zone 1, Missouri, and ask for new ideas. Then you'll be sure of getting one of Mary Lee Taylor's newest books called New Ideas for Everyday Meals. And you'll be sure of having new recipes that will save time and money for you and make a big hit with your family.
In just a minute, I'll give you today's recipe for happiness. But first, I do want to remind you to listen tonight to Vic Damone. He's starring on Pep Milk's big nighttime musical show, along with Kay Armin, the Serenaders, and Gus Henson and the Pep Milk Orchestra. So tune in tonight for Vic Damone over most of these same NBC stations.
And don't forget, we're going to have another Double Rich program for you next Saturday morning, another Jim and Sally Carter story, and the recipe of the week for something mighty good that you just can't buy in stores. So be listening. And now, today's recipe for happiness.
There's hope in the future and help from the past. But for living, there's only today. And now until next Saturday, this is Mary Lee Taylor saying goodbye and happy Easter.
Goodbye, Mary Lee Taylor, and good luck and good health to all of you from Pet Milk, the first evaporated milk. Today's story was written by Jane Spencer, directed by Al Chance. Del King speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.